A candle for hope. That's nice. Hope. If I had a shekel of silver for every time someone told me I was crazy, I would have a lot of shekels of silver. In fact, if I had a shekel of silver just for the times my wife said I was crazy, I could build a bridge across the ocean. Sarah is my wife. She's great. She says, Abraham, you're crazy. Sometimes when she says that, she has a big smile. Sometimes when she says it, she doesn't smile at all. I have given a reason to be concerned. We're from a city, born and raised in the city of Ur. It was great. People loved that place. But, you know, there was too much people. And every great city is great because it has so many gods. So many gods in that city. I didn't like that. You could have a god for anything. If you want to be a thief, there's a god for thieves. If you want to kill somebody, there's a god for killing. What is the point? And then I went crazy the first time. I heard a voice. My father, my brother, they all speak to the gods. Everybody talks to God. I had to tell them one day, I think God is talking to me. You can hear the civil shekels dropping already. He said, Abram, you must take your family and leave. You get out of this place and go to a land that I will show you. So I obeyed. Eventually, we packed up slowly. We left slowly. Got partway and settled for a while. And the voice came again. Abram, you're supposed to be going to the land I will show you. I will obey you, God. Eventually, we packed up slowly. We moved on slowly. We got to the land. It was okay. It was nice. Not so many people. Not enough people because we didn't have a child. We are a tribal people. But how do you know someone is great? They have many children. How do you know someone is rich? They can pass their wealth on to children. How will you be remembered? Through the names of your children. We have no children. Then the voice. Abram, you're going to have a child? He will be great, and kings will come from him. It's good. Good to have a promise. Good to hear the voice. And we waited. And we waited. Eventually, we waited more. Other things happened you don't need to know. And then it was too late. My wife was too old. There were no more children to be had. And then she had a child. I don't know how that happened. Well, I know it happened, but eventually there was a child. Yitzhak. Isaac, we called him. One child. But one is enough. One can carry on the name. One can take over the family. One child. One is good. An only son. Oh, we did many things. We moved around. We lived in Egypt. We have postcards to show you later. But we were living in a nice place. We were happy. Then I heard the voice of God. Abram, you will take your son, your only child. I like traveling with my son. You will take your only son and you will go up a hill. And there you will offer him as an offering, a sacrifice. And then the voice stopped when I needed it the most. I was to take Isaac to a hill about 3 days away. To the top of the hill. And there he was. Okay. The voice had said earlier that it was through Isaac all these promises would be made. Through Isaac there would be kings. Isaac would bear the wealth. He has no children yet. How can the voice say two things that don't make sense? Isaac was to have the hope of nations come from him. How can he die? I don't know. This time, though, I decided to obey, not eventually. It was hard enough already. I did not sleep that night. I could not tell Sarah everything that I heard. Next morning, very early, as quick as we could, we loaded up a donkey. Took only two servants. Usually we travel with a lot of people. This time, no celebrating, just two servants and Itzhak and me. And we traveled for 3 days. And I listened, and there was no voice. I prayed and begged, and there was no voice. I couldn't even look at Itzhak. I couldn't even talk to him because I would break into tears. We walked in silence for 3 days to the hill country of Moriah. That was the place, the hill country of Moriah. Why so far away? I don't know. It would have been easier if it was just right beside the camp. But no, we had to go to Moriah. I knew the area. There are hills. There are different hills in Moriah. One of them has a city on it, the city of the Jebusites. The king from there, Melchizedek. I had met him one time. But I would not go for a visit this time. We went to one of the other hills. You could see the city. They watched us, but... We came to the bottom of the hill area, and we left the servants and the mule. I said to the servants, we'll both be back. Why did I say that? Sounds stupid now. We'll both be back. Who was I trying to convince? Through Isaac, the promise will come. What was I missing? We took the wood for the sacrifice. Isaac put it on his shoulder. And we climbed the hill in silence. Isaac carrying the wood, and me carrying a heart of stone. Isaac was troubled that I had not been joking on the journey, and he said very little, but finally he said, where's the lamb? I had kept a straight face with Sarah to say what we were doing. I had kept it to myself with Isaac, that they didn't know what we were really doing. But I forgot to finish the illusion by bringing an animal because I didn't need one. It was Yitzhak. I said, God will provide a lamb. I hope the voice did not say that. But Isaac will be the one through whom the promise comes. Isaac was the hope. How could... We got to the top of the hill, gathered rocks slowly, eventually. I took the wood off of Isaac's shoulder, and we laid it on the rock. Yitzhak, you will be the sacrifice. I felt dead inside to finally say it out loud. Yitzhak, you will be the sacrifice. He said nothing. He sat on the wood for the fire. I took and bound him, and I waited for the voice of God, and there was nothing. I heard the voice. I mean, my dad's pretty cool. Don't get me wrong. He's old school, right? I mean, he's from the city. Ugh. They don't really know what to do in the city. He was pretty old when he left there already. I was raised out here in the real world. So there's stuff that I know that Pop will just never understand. But there's some neat stuff about my dad. Do you know that one time, get this, my Uncle Lot had been taken captive by some kings. My dad gathered all of our workers, and we went and attacked and defeated the kings. That's kind of cool. I bet your dad can't do that. And here's what I like most about my dad, though. He talks to God. Okay, let me put it differently. God talks back. He hears the voice of God. Man, I hadn't done that. I hang around. I knew when he was doing something crazy. I would listen. I didn't hear it. He would tell Mom the things that God had said. She would tell him what she thought, but that's different. Mom was great, but let's not go there. Dad was great. In fact, one time, Uncle Lot was in a city. I don't know why he would have done that. And we were just hanging out, and these strangers came by. They said they were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were going to destroy it if what they'd heard about it was true. My dad, he sat there and he talked to these guys, and he said, are you really going to destroy that city? They said, yeah, if we have to. What if... My dad said, what if, you know, there's like 50 good people? You can't destroy a whole city. And I was amazed to hear my dad negotiate to save the city. My dad can change the mind of God. That's pretty good. In case you're not hearing, what I'm telling you is my dad could beat up your dad any day of the week. And so one time when he said, Isaac, we gotta go on a little trip, I thought, great, we get to go with Dad, I get to see him do some wild stuff. I maybe get to hear the voice of God. Wow. I've been waiting for that. I thought, it's great, you know, we usually take a bunch of servants and we're gonna take all kinds of animals for great food. And he said, no. Parents spoil everything, don't they? Just you and me and two servants. Not much of a party. Not much of a party. So, next morning we were on the road. But it was really weird because something was bothering Dad. I don't know what. It's like he couldn't even look at me or say my name. And you know, we had to travel for 3 days for this religious thing we were doing. I didn't even know what it was. But it was like for 3 days, it was like I was dead to him. We got to the hill. We left the servants behind. And Dad, I mean, parents are supposed to say stupid stuff, right? He turns to the servants and he says, we'll both be back. Okay. Why would he say that? Why would he say, we'll both be back? You were here, we'll both be, both of us are going to be back. Like, yeah, okay, Dad. You know how parents can get. Anyway, we got partway up and I'm thinking, my dad's pretty smart. But he forgot something. We're supposed to have an offering and there's no lamb. Dad, did we forget? You know, there's no lamb. What are we going to do here? God will provide the lamb. Okay. You don't argue with Dad when he says, God said. Don't do that. You can argue with him about a lot of stuff. Curfew, allowance. Not what God says. We got up to the top of the hill and gathered some rocks. I'd been carrying the wood all the way up from the bottom because, you know, Dad. And some people tell a story, they think I was a little kid, but I was in my early 30s by then. I knew what I was doing. Yeah, Dad didn't. He didn't trick me or fool me. I trusted that man with my life. Carried the wood up the hill, gathered the stones, put the wood down. Yitzhak. Parents have funny accents. Yitzhak. You're the sacrifice. I had heard my dad negotiate the lives of an entire city. But that was judgment. He softened the heart of God for judgment. This wasn't judgment. This was an offering. This was an act of love. And I could have run down that hill. I could have kicked Dad over and gone forever. But this was an act of love, and I loved my dad, and he loved his God. He had told me that I would be the father of nations, that kings would come from me, that one day the hope of the nations would rise from our loins. And here we were, on a pile of rocks on a hilltop. Oh well, God knows. If we have any hope, it is the hope that God knows what he's doing. I guess I never was going to hear the voice of God. I guess I was never going to be as great a man as my dad. Okay. And Dad raised the knife. Okay. I'm okay with this. Okay. I had to change after, I assure you. But I heard the voice of God. And I always wondered, you know, what's the first thing I'm going to hear God say? It's going to be cool. What's he going to tell us? It's going to rain. I don't know. You know, God knows stuff. He said to my dad, "What are you doing? Stop!" I liked that better. I thought that was, I was on his side for that one. Yep. I thought, good thing. We heard some blah, 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 bleating, and you know what? Right over there in the bushes, there was this lamb. It was a ram. It was a guy stuck there in the wood. And with Dad and I both just sweating buckets, tears flowing down our faces, we brought out that lamb. And we did offer a sacrifice that day. We did an act of love. And 3 days home were the fastest trip we'd ever done. And he held my mom like he'd never held her before. And he said, "We did what God asked us to do." She never heard the whole story. But she knew. And I got to hear the voice of God. For the first time. Being a messenger of God is really cool. Man, if you could see what I have seen. Malach Elohim, that's what they call us in Hebrew. Angelos, the Greeks. Angelus, you'd probably call us angels. And we're messengers. Messengers of God. But you see, we don't die. Some of you collect a lifetime of stories and pictures. For us, a lifetime is like a lot of pictures. Oh, we have seen some amazing things. We sort of have this thing, though, whenever we get together as angels, we compare stories about the I factor. This is great. You might not get this, but this is great. When God speaks or does something, we look at the eyes of the humans. And we try to figure out whose eyes open greater. All right? It's the I factor. So we gather up there on the throne, and one angel said to the other, what were you doing this last little while? Oh, I was in Persia. You know, I had a message over there. Oh, yeah. What was the I factor? Just a little bit of eye pop. Not a whole lot. What were you doing? I don't want to talk about it. We were fighting. There was a battle going on. Humans didn't even see it. There was zero eye factor. They didn't even know what was going on around them. Huh. I like to tell this story of a job that I had once with Abraham, you've heard of Abraham and Isaac. And ran into them quite a bit. I had a lot of things sort of in and around their lives and stuff. Other messengers were busy there too, but I got to see most of what was going on. And you know what? That time in the hill country of Moriah was amazing. We knew, of course, what was going to happen. And we had seen Abraham growing as a man. First just hearing whispers on the wind, leave your home. Not much of an eye factor there. You know, Abraham just kind of, it was more of an eye roll. but he obeyed, eventually. He'd start getting some more specific stuff. God would tell him that you're going to own this land and all that kind of stuff. Oh, the eyes would get a little wider. God said, you're going to have a son. I got to tell you, the eye factor wasn't huge, but they were glowing to know that he was finally going to have a son. And we were there when Isaac was born. And I was there the night he told Abraham, you need to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. I have to tell you that I have seen things you cannot see. I have seen God in ways that you cannot imagine. I have heard things. I'm not limited. I look like this, but my ears, my eyes are not as limited as yours. I can hear the stars singing. I can see colors you don't even know exist. But you know what? There are times when I wish I was you. God is doing something that I just can't understand. Because I'm not worried about dying. I mean, I know the holiness of God greater than any human could. I'm in the presence of God. I've seen the power of God greater than any human could. I saw creation. But you get to see mercy. What's that like? What is it like knowing that your life's going to end and God has something better for you? I don't get that. I wish I did. The prophets hinted about it, and as angels we would talk about it. I don't know. Anyway, I've seen stuff. And I saw something amazing when God told Abraham that he was going to kill his son. To me, why not, right? You know God's going to sort it out. Just do it. It's not a problem. All right. It's kind of a big thing when you're human. That whole dying thing is kind of serious, isn't it? And we followed him along, up the hill. Strange conversations they had. Things that we would never think of saying to each other. But these humans had to sort it out and wrestle with stuff. And of course, we waited. We knew what was going to happen. It was the right time. Abraham lifted the knife. So what? Isaac was laying down there. So what? It's, you know, supposed to happen. It was a big deal to them, though. It was a big deal to them. And then God spoke, Abraham, I factor of 10.0. That's a story I always tell when we're doing I factors. Bam! They almost jumped right out of his head. And we laughed. There was a lamb there. And I remember that spot. I've actually been to that spot a number of times, that hill country, Moriah. Now, let me give you a bit of a tour, you know, as if we're in the clouds. Because there's a few hills there. There's this hilltop over here. Jebusites built a city there. Melchizedek was the king there, the king of peace guy. And we visited him a few times, watched him for a while. And there's a couple other hilltops. This one here. This is where David prayed and God held back the angel of death Don't blame me, it wasn't my job that day. I get uncomfortable hanging out with those guys, those angel of deaths, but never mind. So David built an altar there on that hill, and Solomon built a temple right there. That's called Mount Moriah, but there's a few hills in the area of Moriah. And there's this one over here, just a little farther across. Right on the highway. Right on the highway. Romans loved it because everybody passed by there, and when they wanted to crucify people as a sign, that's where they do it. That's one of the spots. That hill's called Golgotha. Same spot. Now, you know what? One of the most amazing things about God is that he doesn't tell you all the story. And I love the parts that he doesn't tell you because he likes it when you guys argue. Do you know that? He leaves little gaps sometimes so that you have to stop and think and research and get mad and bounce ideas off each other. He loves that because he wants you to think about that stuff. So I'm not going to give you the answer to this. You can decide what you think. Abraham and Isaac came up to the hill country of Moriah. Well, they didn't go to this hilltop. It was a city already there. Later, David would conquer that city, change its name to Jerusalem. There's this hilltop, though. For over 1,000 years, the priests of God offered sacrifices on that hill in the temple. The temple was torn down, rebuilt, got back to offering sacrifices. How many lambs died on that spot? That was Mount Moriah. And then here next to it, Golgotha. There was a son, an only son, born of a miracle, who put the wood of sacrifice on his shoulder, and he climbed that hill. And for 3 days, he was separated from his father. And no lamb took his place, because he was the Lamb of God. Right there. You know how long it had been? 2,000 years since God spoke to Abraham on that spot. God made a promise. It seems like he'll do it eventually. He does it at the right time. Have you ever waited for 2,000 years for a promise? 2,000 years ago, I stood on this hill and watched that son die and raise again. Isaac got off of that altar, and Jesus walked out of a tomb. And I will never understand what that means to you, because I don't have to worry about death. But I'm sure if I did, Jesus would have done it for me too. So I love this area. I've been in this area for a long time. There's another hill just over here. Jesus is going to stand on that hill one more time. It's called the Mount of Olives. He'll come back. It's only been 2,000 years since he said he would. Only 2,000 years. Does anyone wonder why this real estate is the most important piece of real estate on the planet? They've been fighting over these hills for 4,000 years, and they don't even know why. I know why. I know why. There's a valley there. Down the end of the valley is a little town. It's like my second home. I've been there many times. It's a little town called Bethlehem. I factor. We told a young girl she was going to have a baby. We told her fiance that she was going to have a baby. We told shepherds a king was going to be born. Right down there. I love this area. This area is hope. I don't need hope.